Amen. Love that song. We've been blessed, haven't we? Amen. Good Father's Day gift tonight. Appreciate my dad being here, and some of you know my dad, some of you don't, but he pastored several years, pastored at Victor Baptist Church in Victor Baptist Church in Snyder, Texas for 12 years, and pastored in Nakona for 3 years, and was associate pastor, and filled a lot of other positions. I don't know the exact age I was when he surrendered to preach, but I know he's always been involved. He's been bus director, he's been children's director, he's been a deacon, he's been a anything you think of, he's been it, and appreciate, love him, and practice what he preaches, and I appreciate him very much. He called him, hang on, one more thing, called him yesterday. Danny Morrow called us and said, hey, I need somebody to fill in for me tomorrow, and we asked around a little bit, and then I called Dad, I said, Dad, would you be interested in coming down and preaching in Springtown tomorrow? And he teaches a Sunday school class, so he kind of, at first he said, well, if you can find somebody else, and he calls me back like 2 minutes later and said, you know what? I've never turned down preaching before. He said, I'm not going to start now. So, and I like that. That's the way. If you're called to preach, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. I'm telling you. And I never turned down any preaching either. So appreciate Dad and his spirit. And he's got like 25 minutes. So come on down. Come on, preach for us. You got 25 minutes.
He's through?
Yeah. Tag team.
Yeah. I swear. 25 minutes. Oh, boy. I've been like a squirrel when he tries to cross a road. I brought two sermon outlines with me, and I've been going like this and like this and this and this. So it might be an hour and a half. I may just preach both of them. You know? At first, I was going to preach what I preached this morning. That's the easy thing to do. You know, got started on it anyway. I don't know how good I'll do, but if you get the message and if you see what I've seen, that's all that really matters. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 3, because I'm going to preach something else. And I've kind of looked at my notes, and we'll see how it goes. It's kind of an overview of Christ. The title of the sermon is Portraits of Christ. And I was going to preach from Dad's and all that, but you know, they sang how we're blessed. When I think about how I've been blessed, and if you think about it, it makes you want to cry sometimes, you know. God's been so good to us. I will say this, I'm glad I had a Christian daddy. He wasn't always a Christian. He got saved when I was young, 5, 6, 7 years old. And he was a rounder. He was a roughneck. When he got saved, he got saved. He got changed. And I saw it. And, you know, I meet people knocking doors all the time that say they're Christians, but they're not going to church. They're doing things Christians shouldn't do. I'm not their judge. But I know when I got saved, I got changed. Nobody had to tell me to go to church. Nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. They did. Nobody had to tell me to tithe. I just knew that was the right thing to do. And that's not in my sermon. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Heavenly Father, bless what I'm trying to do tonight. I know You gave a promise that Your word would not return void, so I know it'll do something good, whether I do or not. So, Lord, just bless it. Touch our hearts and touch each person in the way that You see fit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Paul said that I might know Him. That I might know Him. For the I suffered all things but for loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. There's no other knowledge you have. You may be educated. You may have all kinds of PhDs and all kinds of letters after your name and diplomas. But if you hadn't got Christ, you don't know nothing. The greatest thing that you and I have knowledge of this evening is Jesus Christ. And when He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. To me it had a double meaning. Not only was He be lifted upon the cross that He might draw me unto and you unto Him to be saved, but if we lift Him up, then He will draw all men unto Him. If we give people a picture, and perhaps tonight I'll show you some portraits as we enter the gallery and we look at things in God's Word, the gallery of God's Word, because it gives us picture after picture, images of our Christ, of our Savior, of our Lord. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but maybe 1,000 words would give you a beautiful picture. As we look first of all in Mark chapter 10, and I may skip some of these. I have seven or eight of these. And every time I've tried to preach this, I've never got more than about four. So we'll skip around however the Lord leads. You know, in Mark chapter 10, I always like to start with this. And I don't ever leave this one out. In verse 13, it says, "And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked them." He rebuked those that brought them. "But when Jesus saw it, He was displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms and put His hands upon them and blessed them." I see a picture of Jesus sitting perhaps on a rock and His disciples busy and a bunch of kids around there playing. And mama's wanting to bring their kids to this prophet, to this teacher, for Him to bless them. And His disciples, they say, "No, He's too busy. He's got more important things to do." And the thing I like about this beautiful picture is He said, "Suffer little children to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of God." He wasn't too busy for them. He wasn't too busy for me. He wasn't too busy for you. He isn't too busy tonight. He's still in the saving business. And if you're lost tonight, He will save you. You have to have the faith of a little child. Knocking doors a few weeks ago, I come to a door and I passed this one because I thought I'd visited before and I thought, well, maybe they're not home. I didn't see any vehicles. Maybe they weren't home. I went around the block and made some other visits. I come back around. I said, I got to knock this door. Guess what? I knocked this door and it wasn't even the people I'd met on knocking doors the first time. But it was a lady. And from her mouth, she says, "I've been to this church and that church and they make it so difficult to be saved." I said, "It's not difficult. All you got to do is believe that you're a sinner, know that you're a sinner, and believe Jesus Christ is the Savior, and ask Him to forgive your sins and to save you. It is that simple." It's just like, wow. That simple? Yeah, that simple. Well, then she talked about, you know, losing it and all that. I said, I explained, these people are messing with you. They don't know their Bible. And I took a... I don't know. You got a coin? You got a coin, Kelly? I ain't going to say you'll get it back. But I took out my keys and I said, "This is you and you get saved." According to John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, 29. When you get saved, you're put in the Lord's hand. I said, then you're put in God the Father's hand. I said, do you think anybody can really get you out? Do you think any kind of sin can get you out? No. Uh-uh. If you're really saved, you're always saved. Amen. You must have the faith of a little child, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I'll actually give that back. I want everybody to witness.
Hallelujah.
Now, he wouldn't have gave it back. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. He'll save anybody. If he'll save me, he'll save anybody. He'll save you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know for sure you're saved, he'll save you. Turn back a little bit to Mark chapter 5 as we walk through the gallery of God's Word. And we pass by many portraits because every chapter has many, many portraits of Christ, pictures of Christ. And this one shows us a man who now is sitting on a stone, I believe, on a tombstone with Jesus. And I can kind of see Jesus sitting there on the tombstone, and maybe he's got his arm around the guy. Now, it wasn't always so, because this guy wasn't like that a few minutes ago. Because Jesus had come across the sea there, and he'd landed, and he entered into this cemetery, and there come a guy naked, with cuts all over his body, screaming, hollering, and running toward Jesus. Now, if I'd been Jesus, I'd have got back in the boat and went the other way. But he being God, he knows all things. And he knew exactly where this guy was before he ever landed on shore. And he knew that this guy was going to be running toward him. And it says in the Bible, well, maybe I ought to get turned there myself. Okay, Mark chapter 5. And it says in verse 4, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Even the devils know who Jesus is. What's your name? Legion. What does that mean? That means he has 1,000 or 2,000 demons in him. Don't tell me, ask me how many angels can sit on the head of a pin. I don't know how many demons can sit on the head of a pin either. That's an old thing. But if the Bible says he had them, I believe he had them. And I know he was in the mess. You know, the mind is the battlefield. The devil would like to destroy me and you both. Teenagers, the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your life and ruin all your hopes and all your dreams. Jesus said unto Peter one day, Satan desires to sift you, but I'll pray for you. Satan desires to shake you up, and he did shake him up. The devil did get Peter to deny the Lord 3 times. But he didn't get the victory because the Lord got the victory. Peter went out and wept. I can just see him looking at the Lord, and the Lord looking at him. He began to weep. You know, and it wasn't about 50-something days later, Peter preached a sermon, 3,000 souls were saved. Well, the devil didn't get the victory in this man's life either. Jesus cast out those demons. And this man was wonderfully saved. He accepted Christ, and that's why I see him sitting next to Jesus on a tombstone, and the Lord's got his hands, arm around him, and he's telling him how much he loves him, how much he cares for him. You know, in Psalms 42:11, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I believe sometimes all of us have problems with thinking wrong, mental problems, our mind going astray, our spirit getting crosswise, maybe losing our faith for a little while, not thinking right. The devil is just messing with us. Why aren't thou cast down, O my soul? You ever get that way? Hope thou in God? But yet, every time I've gotten that way, and I've gotten that way many times, especially in the last year and a half since my wife passed away, it's been a battle. But God always brings me back home. He always brings my thinking back to the right place. And I quit cutting on myself. I know I'm saved, but sometimes us saved people do the same thing. We renew bondage. We renew bondage to sins. We renew bondage to wrong thinking. We become captive to wrong thoughts. But when we come back to Jesus, He always sets us free. He cares for you. Peter said, "Cast all your care on Him, for He careth for you." And He always cares for you, and He will always care for you. He said, "I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Is there a clock around here? Right there in front of me. Boy, if that had been a water moccasin, it'd bit me. I got a reason for saying, if that had been a water moccasin. Anybody tell you what happened to me the other day? I walked over to a faucet to fill up a gallon jug in the corner of my house outside. I bent over just like this to fill that up. There's the edge of the house, and there's a 3-foot water moccasin laying right there. Have I not always told my children, have I not always told my wife, keep your eyes down. Watch for snakes. I seen the snake. I jumped back. I went in Kelly and got my shotgun. He has no head. That's not part of the sermon either, except to tell you the devil's an old serpent. And he'll bite you. I knew I would incorporate that some way. As we walk down the gallery of God's Word, I see several more, and there's a couple I'm going to pass that you're familiar with. I see a woman standing by Jesus and Him writing in the sand. And He says to her, "Go and sin no more." Where are your accusers? There's none around. Go and sin no more. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad God forgave you of all your sins? I see another one here in Mark chapter 4 in verse 35. And it says, "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it now was full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and saith one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" I see here a Savior asleep. I see a picture of a boat with waves coming in. And in the you may not be able to see it good because it's a portrait, but you know there's somebody laying back there, and the Scripture says it's Jesus. And He's laying in the back of that boat. He's asleep. And I don't know if they had any pails in that boat or not, but His disciples were going like this, throwing water out just as fast as they can throw it out. And He's just asleep. He don't care. He ain't going to let the boat sink. Amen. Sometimes we find ourselves that way. Everything's going wrong. Yep. You know, the car broke down, the refrigerator broke, the air conditioner went out, and my wife is sick. And the kids got the mumps. Do they even have mumps anymore? I don't think so. They got something anyway. They always got something. God's in control. We get panicky, but He's never panicky. He knows exactly what's going on. That means our God is in control of the elements. He's in control of the winds. He's in control even when there's a tornado. He's in control when there's a hurricane. He's in control when there's a flood. He's in control. Yet many times we feel helpless. And all we can do is stand back and watch. Well, sometimes you have to wait. You just have to wait and watch. "And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up on wings as eagles. And they shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And we learn by those things that happen around us. And as we see, look back over 40 years since I've been saved and see how God has taken care of me. I've worried about finances. I've worried about illnesses. I've worried about my wife. I've worried about my boys and my girl. And I've worried about this and that. And I look back 40 years and you know what? God was in control. I didn't always like everything that went on. I don't like some things going on now. But I believe God's in control. That's something you can take hold of. A portrait of Jesus sleeping in the back of the ship that looks like it's fixing to go down. He knows exactly what's going on. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. This is kind of a strange little picture. Strange portrait. You know, Jesus spitting on his hand in the mud and making clay and putting on God's eyes. You know, kind of a strange portrait. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, he didn't see clearly. He could kind of see the trees, but he couldn't see clearly. After this, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. After you got saved, was there a time in your life where you didn't see things clearly? Did you come to the realization that one touch of the Master, getting saved is great, but that's not the end of it. There's a lot of growing. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of growing going that's going to go on. He touched this man. He saw, but he didn't see clearly. And there's been some times in my Christian life when I got backslidden. I got back of the Lord. Didn't even realize it sometimes, but I didn't see clearly. How about you? I didn't see clearly how to serve Him. I didn't see clearly the sacrifices he needed of me. I didn't see clearly that I needed to surrender all till I heard the right sermon at the right time. I didn't see that I needed to repent of some sin that I'd hidden and I just wasn't paying attention to it. You ever done that? You got sin in your life? You just didn't realize? You wasn't really looking at it? You didn't see it clearly? But finally the Holy Spirit reveals to it, you sinned, you did this, you did that, you need to get it right. But I didn't see clearly till God made me see clearly. You didn't see clearly to be sensitive to your wife or your children. You didn't see clearly to be forgiving. You didn't see the bitterness in your life. You didn't see the immorality. You didn't see the addiction to drugs. Clearly, how what it really was, because after all, it's a prescription. You didn't see clearly to be faithful in church like God told you to do. You didn't see clearly the tithe like God told you to. Sometimes we need a second touch, Brother Wiggins. Sometimes we need a third touch, a fourth touch, and right on down the line over the years. And I'm glad Jesus is still here to touch. To convict, to bring us to our senses. This man needed a second touch. I'm just asking you tonight, do you? Do you need a second touch? Do you need restoration? I thought these portraits, that God put this idea in my mind a long time ago. It's kind of an overview. pictures of Christ, portraits of Christ. I'm going to take time for just one more. I don't think it'll take me a bit of a minute. Look at John chapter 13. And by the way, as you notice, I'll say again, we're walking by many portraits down the gallery. We could stand and do this all day. We could preach this all day, showing you pictures and portraits of Christ. But I want to just mention this one right quick. In John chapter 13, with the supper being ended, Jesus has all His disciples there, takes off His robe, takes and wraps a big towel or something around Him, sheet, whatever, takes a pail of water, and He comes down, and He begins to wash their feet. Wash their feet. Comes down the line, gets to Peter. And Peter said, "No, Lord, You're not going to wash my feet." And the Lord said, "If You don't let Me wash your feet, you have no part of Me." Yeah. And Peter said, "Wash Me all over." The picture I want you to see, though, is the God that created the universe is kneeling, washing their stinking, dirty feet. The God who created those feet is stooping Himself. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation, and took on Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He did that so He might humble Himself, even the death of the cross." Knowing what was ahead of Him in just a few hours, He committed Himself to wash their stinking feet, to teach them a lesson. He told Peter and them, "You don't understand what I'm showing you. I'm giving you an example." He's giving the church an example. He's giving this church an example. He's giving my church an example that we are not to be above one another. You're no better than me and I'm no better than you, but we are to be servants one to another. Portrait, a beautiful portrait of the servant. His name is Christ. Are we any better? Young people, are you any better? Adults, are we any better? We're to be servants. Amen. Right. We have one purpose. After we're saved, that's to glorify God by being servants. His servant. And servants one to another. I could go on. I could give you a portrait of a cross. That was my last one. A portrait of three crosses. And Christ in the center. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. It's through the blood." Would you stand with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Tonight, if you're not saved, do you have the faith of a little child that you would come and receive Christ? So simple, but so necessary. If you're here tonight, and maybe you're having problems, we all do, whether it be of a mental state, or if it be financial state, or if it be physical, whether it be like the man in the tombs or the men in the boat, God can take care of your problems. He's here. He's with you. Or maybe you just want to give your life as a living sacrifice unto God and be a servant to Him for the rest of your life. Commit yourself as a servant. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that, dear God, You touch our hearts, that, Lord, You lead as only You can lead, and Your Holy Spirit would touch hearts as only He can touch hearts, and, Lord, that You would reap the harvest as You see fit. That, God, You'd help those that are hurting, that You would save those that need saving. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.